Shalom to everybody. We have another interesting paragraph on Rav Kook and cursing and pornography, and how these ideas are counterproductive. And it's based on the interesting Gemara. Let's see it at the top in Source 1. The Gemara Masechet Shabbat of Lamed Gimel, Amud Aleph, reads as follows. Amar Rabba Bar Shila, Amar Rav Chisda, Kol HaMenavel Et Piv Ma'amikin Lo Gehenom. Whoever speaks, curses, cusses, swears, if you're from the Midwest, it deepens hell for you. And the question is, Rav Kook is going to deal with what is this interesting term to deepen hell. You know, Chazal, the rabbis, have a lot of different punishments when they want to deter a person. But there is significance in deepening the hell. And where do we learn it out? Shene emar shucha amuka pi zarot. That literally means that the mouths of other women is a deep pit. And who is it talking about, other women? If it's talking about to speak with women who are married to somebody else, for example, that's one possibility. And also what Chazal are doing with this is, do you see the sheet? Do you see the sheet?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And what Chazal do with this is that it's talking about to curse, to talk about unclean things. These are things that happen. They say that you could tell a person's mother tongue by how he counts and how he curses, because that is his inner self, and that is one of the things that Rav Kook is going to talk about. Let's see it inside. Source number two, in Aya. Rav Kook writes as follows. Harishamim hativiim sheyeshnam banefesh. There are certain natural tendencies in the soul, where, as we'll see, he's going to be talking about what's called in Tanya nefesh habehemit, or nefesh habehemis, if you learned it with a Lubavitcher, that man has certain tendencies in common with animals. So these natural tendencies, sheyeshnam banefesh haadam, we don't deny that they are inevitably part of every person. Liyot al yadam yored leshefel madregota behemut. These things can bring a person down to a level of animalism, where animals, they have a sex instinct. They don't think about having children. They don't have birth control. They just do it. Kishehem po'alim et po'latam al yadei kishlono hamusari shel adam shelo kahogen. When these animalistic tendencies are used improperly, nimshach ha'adam al yadam b'matzav ruchani hafuch miteva haneshama ha'torah ve'lohit shebekirbo. There's a difference between the nefesh, which is sort of animalistic, and the neshama, which is godly. The godly soul, we say every morning, one of the first things in the morning, Elokai neshama shenatata bi torahi. You gave me a godly soul. Hashem breathed into Adam a spark of God. Right? As it says in the Targum, in the translation, in the Zohar, kol dinafach midilei nafach, where it says that God blew into man the breath of life. When you blow into a balloon, what you do is you blow into the balloon air which is in your own lungs. So Hashem, as if it were, blew part of himself into man, and that is the neshama. Shebevoz man ha'orav neshama mitnaset limarom tiva. That when the time comes properly, The light and the soul rise up to its height, to its godly height. And that's the way it's supposed to be. It's very popular today among in the yeshivas. They sing a quote from Rav Kook, Ben Adam, Ale Lemala Ale. Son of man, just rise up. That is who you are. Ki Oz, Ruach Oz, God has given us a godly spirit. Az, he margeshet et sarata gdola. But if a man is bogged down by his nefesh habehemit, by his manly, by his animalistic nature, then it sinks him down. You see where Rav Kook is talking about sinking into the depths of hell? Because you could have a very great person, but if he is sinking in the mud, you don't see his greatness. He's struggling to get out of the mud. Paragraph bet, I remember to scroll it. Mi'ut hakoach, shenidaldil mikirba chila pnimi al yedei drachea peruim. As we'll see at the end of this paragraph, Rav Kook is talking about, I'll just foreshadow so that you'll understand already, is talking about when a person thinks of pornographic thoughts or daydreams, masturbation, what's called lo taturu acharei levavchem va'acharei enechem asher atem zonim achareihem. The Torah tells us that yes, we're not naive. You have to know that there are certain very base, they can be even disgusting drives if they're not used, as we learned last time, as part of the beautiful framework of marriage. So if these thoughts, again, mi'ut hakoach, shenidaldel mikirba chela hapnimi, when a person is just thinking or daydreaming about sex, it weakens him, al yedei drachea hapruim, because this way is ways of wildness. When a person is fantasizing, there is no end to his fantasy. But, and the psychologists say, in the end, he feels depression. He feels lonely because he doesn't have anyone to do it with. He doesn't have that loving soulmate. And masturbation is something which ends up being depressing and you feel your loneliness. And that is what Rav Kook is saying. It lowers a person, it weakens a person, who mo'il lo lachyota kula bishlemuta. But this weakness, davke, is good because it doesn't let a person just drive himself crazy with fantasies. In other words, the depression in this context, that when you wake up out of your daydream and you realize it was just a dream. And I remember when I was in elementary school, I had a crush on a girl. And, you know, when you wake up out of your daydream, it's really depressing. You know, hey, she's not interested in me. And what Rav Kook is saying is that depression is good in terms of that it doesn't get us to act upon those fantasies. Kim lahatima et ma'amada ha'umlal. It stresses to a person, when a person is just fantasizing, or chas v'shalom, you know, looking at pornography, it stresses how his situation is umlal ve'ayom. How sad and bad off, how do you say? Not well off, he is. Ulavir chukata lechaletz micheshkata dimyonot agruim shechisu et shamea habihirim. He says, this depression, davke, is good because maybe you'll stop daydreaming and maybe do something more productive with your time. Kol elehem atotzaot hagehenom. Rav Kook is saying, this is the hell of somebody who's thinking and daydreaming and pornography and masturbation. But, as we'll see in the next paragraph, if this is when he's just thinking of it, can you imagine when he starts talking about it? Chazal tell us that there are three levels of action. There is machshava, thought. There is dibur, which is a little more actual. And then there is ma'aseh, the actions, which is really actual. In other words, the theoretical, speech is halfway in between the thought and the action. And that's what our topic is about, the problem of speech. That we'll get to in the next paragraph. But in the meantime, we're just talking about how bad off and how disappointed, how depressed is the person who doesn't have a family life in which to express these drives, and they end up making him just feel animalistic and lonely. Im lo paras adam et kocho adimyoni harav hakozev lehara yidei siyua kocha dibur shelo. He says, it's bad enough if you're just daydreaming and thinking about it, even if you don't talk about it, even if it's not becoming actualized. But, paragraph Gimel. Omnam. Biyot ha'adam, let me scroll down a little. Omnam. Bihiyot ha'adam mishtamesh bekoach ha'dibur lahakitz et ha'tziurim ha'shfelim. When a person uses speech in order to awaken certain animalistic drives, right? An animal does not have speech. Man can talk about dirty things and awaken, even artificially awaken in himself, those base feelings. Shem gami biladeha katzak vuim benafsho. Hooray, they're in a person's soul no matter what, even if you don't wake them up. You know, let them stay where they are. They're there. They're waiting there to be used in the right framework. Again, for building a family, for building and deepening a relationship with your spouse. They are there. But if you start talking about it in a pornographic way, and then you'll need to, once you're beginning to actualize it, you're going to have to make a conscious effort to overcome those thoughts. It's going to be that much more difficult. It's not just thoughts, it's also speech. Again, there are different levels. There's the most basic sex drive, and then there is when you consciously think or daydream about it, and then when you talk about it, and then when you act upon it. And each time you are deepening what Rav Kook explains the Gehenom, this idea of living in an imaginary world and a daydream world where it's almost an animalistic world. You're just deepening. Shem gam ken yicholim litparetz lidei ma'aseh, right? And chas v'shalom, if a person is so preoccupied with those ideas, I never met a rapist or a molester, but I imagine that's where Rav Kook is referring to. Somebody who it bursts out from the thought and from the speech into action. And if a person is weak and he doesn't overcome, and it is difficult to overcome because the more you actualize it, and you don't use the Yirat Hashem that you have to cool down your animalistic tendencies, al ken kol haminabel et piv mamikin lo gehenom. That is how Rav Kook explains the idea of deepening hell. What does it mean, deepening hell? It's not talking about what happens after you die. It's not talking about heaven and hell. But it is a natural ramification, a natural outcome of where a person chooses to be. When a person chooses to get into pornography or daydreaming or fantasizing, that, Rav Kook is saying, is hell. And when you talk about it, you're deepening that help. Now, just to get a deeper understanding of these different levels, let's look in Source 2, where I brought for you from Orot HaKodesh, Musar HaKodesh, page Resh Pei Dalet, 284, regarding the proper usage of the order. What is the proper usage of Machshava, Dibur, and Ma'aseh, of thought, speech, and action? Haseder HaRa'ui. It's like, ironically, Rav Kook is mamash answering the other side of the coin. What we discussed till now is how not to use the three. What is the proper way to use the three? Hu sheyitmale haruach machshavot vehargashot. That a person should first fill himself with thoughts and feelings of spirituality, of idealism. Uma she'en ha-rayon ha-pnimi yachol la-set, muchrachu litparetz achutza. And what happens is, when a person is over-brimming, he's overflowing with idealism, then it just has to burst out, bitzura shel diburim. He just has to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I love you. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Right? What we burst out in at the end of Ne'ilah. Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim. That bursting out is something which feels so good because we have these feelings that have been building up all Yom Kippur, and then they burst out. And that, by the way, is the way we should also be saying Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Where this is the proper usage, where an idea starts as an idea, as an ideal that you think about, and then it bursts out. There's a famous, actually Rav Kook's two most famous students, the Nazir and Rav Harlap. They both were turned on to Rav Kook when they personally heard him davening. And Rav Harlap talks about how he saw Rav Kook one time. He was just pacing back and forth and back and forth, running back and forth in the Beit Midrash, and his face was red and burning and his eyes were full of fire. And he saw that Rav Harlap, his student, was watching him, and he turns to him and he says, Ani nisraf be'avat Hashem. I'm burning with the love of God. And that is the first and the second stage. That we burst out needing to say, that's the Breslev today, if you all know the song, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anachnu Oavim Otcha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we love you. And for people of my generation, that sounds a little chutzpahdik, and a little too chummy with God Almighty. But this is what should break out, this is how we transfer from the thought to the speech. Vehemem yisodei atfilot vahodaot. And this is what talking to God is about. Rabbi Nachman Breslev talks about daberilav, just talk to God. Need a parking space? Talk to God. You need health? Talk to God. Whatever you need. That is regarding tefillot, thanking God, Baruch Hashem. My granddaughter, little baby, just had open heart surgery, and Baruch Hashem, things are going well. Say, thank God. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that the feeling goes from the thought into it becomes real through speech. Halimudim vakriyot. Not just to talk to God, but to talk about God. That is what we're doing here, is learning Torah, learning Emunah, learning Kuzari, learning Kabbalah, learning Chassidut, learning Halakha, learning Torah, right? To not just to talk to God, but also to talk about God, and also the Kriyot, those declarations of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Hashem Hu Elokim. V'lema she'en maspik erech zeh, and if this isn't enough, If it's not enough to think about it, but it bursts out in speech, right? I gotta declare it. Shel itgaluta diburit mipnei rov shetef oro. You're just overflowing with light. Muchrachu litgalem b'maasim. And that is when we want to express it. Now, in Avodah Zarah, in paganism, you could go and you could kiss your god. You could go and give a sacrifice or incense and do an action. But we, in monotheism, say that the way of acting godly, again, we want to do something, is by shaking a lulav, by putting on tefillin, by hearing a shofar. Because when I hear a shofar, that action, that hearing, is to a certain extent even greater than speech. When I shake the lulav, and I especially feel this on Hoshanot, when you shake the Hoshanot, and you beat the Hoshanot, and you, after learning the kavanot, the deeper meaning of what a person should have in mind during the Hoshanot, these actions are bursting out. The thought bursts out as speech, and the speech bursts out as actions. Ha'omrim b'rmizatam u'po'alim ba'atzmutam et kol ha'tochen ha'rayoni shal ha'rgashot v'ha'machshavot ha'na'alot k'sha'ma'amad omed al tzura kazot olam metukan v'or yashar shofei al hakol. When the world is running like this, it is running properly. We live, first of all, with our head. That's why the Kuzari says God created man's head at the top. Not like animals who have their head down. The intellect is supposed to be the katzin, the officer who gives orders to everything else. But that's not enough. Speech also, and also actions. If a person doesn't act upon his beliefs, he's a hypocrite. And we all know what we think about hypocrites. When somebody says that he loves the land of Israel, but he doesn't want to live here, there's a certain amount of hypocrisy there, right? If you believe in something, you want to act upon it. When you love a person, you want to hug them, right? You want to do something. You want to give them a gift. Our life is made up of actions. So if we want to express our deeper feelings and our deeper thoughts, in the end, it has to express itself in actions. Bipgimata, paragraph bet, two bet. Bipgimata, when things are not running properly, shelatchuna olamit, right? When we don't have this order of going from idealistic thoughts to idealistic speech to idealistic actions, if it's not running properly, tzrichim lamtzia tatochen milemata limala. What we do is then we work backwards. Most of you are familiar with the Sefer HaChinuch, which says, achareya pu'ulot nimshachim alvavot. After, when you do the actions, give tzedakah and you'll be more altruistic. Say Shema Yisrael, and that will deepen your relationship with God. Do chesed, do godushel, do the actions, and if it's not working on its way down, so at least work it from the bottom up. Start with the actions. Hamaasim moririm et haerech hadiburi. And that will hopefully awaken you to talk about it. Vadiburim et harayonot. And afterwards, the actions. Okay? There's one last point that's very important in Rav Kook's relationship between machshava, dibur, and maaseh. And that is in source number 3. Regarding Hadibur v'machshava be'eretz Yisrael. We all know that Rav Kook was a great Zionist, and he was in love with the land of Israel. And here also, he stresses, and it's not his invention, it's based on very clear sources that we'll see, b'chutz la'aretz ein mitgale ki'ima erech shel ha'ma'aseh. In chutz la'aretz, unfortunately, Judaism is one of practice. The idea of the thoughts of Judaism and prophecy and speaking Lashon HaKodesh, speaking the Hebrew language, we don't have it. The Gemara Masechta Brachot at the beginning, I think it's Daf Chet, says that in Galut, Ein Makom L'Shechina Ela Arba Amot Shel Halacha Bilvad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Where do you find God? In halacha. How is a Jew different from a Christian? In his actions. He acts differently, he talks differently, he dresses differently, he eats differently. Your actions. That is Torah Chutz La'aretz. Ube Eretz Yisrael, but when we come to Eretz Yisrael, ha'erech shel ha'dibur, then speech takes on also spirituality. Rav Kook is, without a question, dealing here with two aspects. Number one, nivuah, prophecy. To speak to God and to have God speak to you, that's only in the land of Israel. We all remember Yonah, that when Jonah didn't want to get prophecy, he hopped on a boat and left the land of Israel. Also, it's interesting, there's a Tshuvan Reb Moshe Feinstein. Somebody asked Reb Moshe Feinstein, if you want to look it up, it's an Evin Ezer Chelek Gimel, Siman Lamed Hei. Yes, it's a mitzvah to speak Hebrew. If so, he says, why don't we speak Hebrew to our children? Knowing full well that Reb Moshe did not speak Hebrew to his children. And I only know of two families in America, three, who spoke to their children in Hebrew, even though it wasn't their mother tongue. One of them, by the way, was Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, whose father spoke like 10 languages, and he rose Rav Aaron as speaking Hebrew as his mother tongue. And Rav Moshe answers that even though speaking Hebrew is not a, it's not a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz, it's a mitzvah that you can do in Chutz La'aretz. It's not like Truma, Ma'aser, Shemitah, Yovel. You can do it in Chutz La'aretz, but it's not realistic. Because you're going to be like a Martian. People don't understand you. By the way, the Torah Tumima, Rav Baruch HaLevi Epstein, has a kuntres called Safa L'Ne'emanim. And I looked for this for years until I found it in Rav Maimon's library, and then I photocopied the whole thing. It's about the mitzvah of speaking Hebrew, which in the end I wrote a book on afterwards, if anybody's interested, Larima Tadegel. And the Torah Tumim writes the same thing. And Rabbi Yonatan Eibshitz says the same thing, that the Kiddusha of speaking holy really is only fitting for Eretz Yisrael, for the same reason that prophecy is only fitting for Eretz Yisrael. Ubebeit HaMikdash ha'erech shel ha'machshava. And in the Beit HaMikdash, which is Eretz Yisrael squared, like Rav Kook writes in the next sentence, right? She'ikar kedushat Eretz Yisrael mnei kedushat Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash is like Eretz Yisrael squared. Eretz Yisrael is like a microcosm of the Beit HaMikdash, where the Holy of Holies, obviously you can't even go in there, but all of Eretz Yisrael is holy, and we want to go here. And all of it has the, in the Beit HaMikdash, the most concentrated form of Eretz Yisrael, even the machshava, even the thought is significant. What is Rav Kook referring to? He's talking about Pigul. Everybody knows that if a Kohen thinks about, as he's doing a Korban, if he thinks about doing it in the wrong time, or in the wrong place, or that he's going to eat it in the wrong time or in the wrong place, it postels the whole Korban. Now, if you think about it, that's pretty hard, that's pretty demanding, to make sure all of your thoughts are exactly the way they should be. Rav Kook says, well, that is the level of the Beit HaMikdash. Eretz Yisrael, by the way, I thought of another example of Eretz Yisrael, Tzara'at. The whole idea that if a person speaks Lashon Hara, he gets leprosy, Tzara'at, that's only in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because again, in Chutz La'aretz, you have Jewish actions. Even yeshivas, in Chutz La'aretz, the yeshivas, they don't learn philosophy, they don't learn musar, they don't learn Tanakh. It's all Gemara, it's all halacha, it's all the actions. In Eretz Yisrael, you go up from machshava, from actions to dibur, where speech is holy. By the way, Rav Tzvi Yehuda used to say that in our generation, the generation of Yemot HaMashiach, that we're already in the Geula, it's not a coincidence that the Chafetz Chaim purified speech through writing the laws of Lashon Hara, Shmirat HaLashon, and Eliezer ben Yehuda revived Lashon HaKodesh, the holy speech. And all of this is a return to Eretz Yisrael, where we go up from holy actions to holy speech. The Beit HaMikdash is even holy thoughts. To summarize what we learned in Masechet Shabbat, in source number 1, in Gemara Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, is the exact opposite. When a person uses problematic thoughts, which bring him to problematic speech, which bring him to problematic actions, is the exact opposite of what he should be doing. You should be going, even if you're daydreaming, and you're fantasizing, and you can't keep your life, can't keep your mind on Limud Torah, so at least do the actions. Keep yourself busy with mitzvot and volunteering, and eventually it will burst out to say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Hu Elokim, and eventually it will get into your machshava. Even that is not the ideal. The ideal is that a person sits, like we're sitting here, talking, thinking, first of all, ideals, and then it bursts out in speech, in declarations, and then it bursts out in actions. I want to be godly. I want to do the mitzvot, etc., etc. And this is, on the one hand, why fantasizing and daydreaming and pornography and masturbating brings a person to feel depressed and lonely, and it just sinks him down and down and down. And on the other hand, what a person who, we're not animals, we should and we can all take these lessons and climb in the opposite direction.